Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you today on this beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. A little cold, but a pretty nice Monday in Oklahoma. Started spring break here in Oklahoma, but I had a great weekend of watching sports and ready to talk about it all with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. Right now we're having some technical difficulties. I cannot see my board right now at this moment, but that is the number to call into the show. You can also email me with any questions you might have. You can email me at mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's mauricetrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. And you can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search, and you can like my Facebook page. Again, we're having some technical difficulties, so we'll get those ironed out. But we have a special show for you today. We're going to be breaking down the NCAA tournament. We're going to break down the brackets. We're going to break down the East and the West today. And God's will, hopefully we'll do the Midwest and South tomorrow. So that's the plan at 5:30 tomorrow. So that's what we'll be doing in a couple of minutes. So we'll be breaking down all the matchups. I'll give you my prediction on those matchups, and I'll let you know who I think is coming out of the Final Four in the East and out of the West. So we will do that coming up in a couple of minutes. Hopefully by then we'll have all these technical difficulties figured out. But we can talk some other sports as well. We can talk some NFL free agency. We have some big moves made in NFL free agency already. Brandon Marshall, he signed with the Giants 2 years, $12 million. Now, man, how talented are the Giants wideouts? You have Odell Beckham with Sterling Shepard, and all. Now you add Brandon Marshall. I know Eli Manning has to be, really, really excited. I mean, you add a Brandon Marshall who took less money to join the New York Giants. That is a big-time sign for the New York Giants. Also, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I thought they made a really nice sign getting DeSean Jackson, a deep threat. That's definitely what they need to help their Mike Evans, give him another deep threat, and DeSean Jackson with his speed. So that's a nice sign for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, the San Francisco 49ers, I thought they, my favorite NFL team, had a nice sign getting Pierre Garçon from the Washington Redskins. They paid him a lot of money. We'll see if he produces. And also the 49ers sign Brian Hoyer. That he's going to be competing for the starting quarterback job. Not sure how that's going to work out for the 49ers, but I do like the moves they've made so far. We'll see how that turns out. Also, Brock Osweiler, he was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a second-round pick. He's going to be released by the Cleveland Browns, so we'll see where Brock Osweiler ends up. That gives money off the Houston Texans books. And also, so that's good. And then that opens the door for Tony Romo potentially to end up in a Houston. So we shall see if that happens. We'll see if that takes place. It's been rumored, but we shall wait and see if that should take place. But if it does, that'll be an upgrade, obviously. I don't know if he's going to bring them to the promised land. With that defense, he has a chance to do some nice things for the Houston Texans if Tony Romo does end up in Houston. But we have to talk about the Patriots. I think so far they've made the best move so far in NFL free agency. First, they signed Stephon Gilmore, a top corner from the Buffalo Bills, 5 years, $65 million. I think that is a really nice sign. He's another lockdown corner. You can pair him with Malcolm Butler, really good cornerback, potential lockdown cornerback. So that's a nice sign. And then the Patriots sign, they trade for Brandon Cooks for a fourth-round pick. Also, I believe they got Brandon Cooks in a fourth-round pick from the Saints for their first and third-round picks. That is a big-time move by the Patriots. A lot of people are hating, saying, oh, the rich getting richer. But that's what it is. You got to give it to the Patriots. They're the model of how you want your NFL team to be run personnel-wise. They do a great job making great personnel decisions, and they did again by getting Brandon Cooks. I mean, that's a nice, nice sign for the New England Patriots. They need another deep threat at that wide receiver position, and they got one. Brandon Cooks is an excellent player. So you pair him with Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, a healthy Rob Gronkowski, and then you lose Martellus Bennett to the Packers, and then you sign Dwayne Allen, who's a really good tight end. So the Patriots definitely have to be the odds-on favorite to win another Super Bowl, not only to make a Super Bowl but to win a Super Bowl if Tom Brady can stay healthy. So we shall wait and see on that. So we can talk anything NFL free agency. We can talk anything in the world of sports. The technical difficulties are over here. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk some NBA before we talk college basketball. We can talk about the Spurs and the Warriors. That was supposed to be a great game. It turned out not to be such a great game. The Spurs beat down the Warriors 107-85. That was just an ugly beating. Patty Mills scored 21 points. Cal Anderson had 13 points and 8 rebounds. The Spurs shot 52% from the field. They hit 12 threes. For the Golden State Warriors, Ian Clark scored 36, but they shot just 36%. Obviously, the Warriors, they rested Curry. They rested Thompson. And also, they rested Andre Iguodala. And they also rested Draymond Green. So a lot of the Warriors are out, and Steve Kerr has to make the best decision for his basketball team. So I don't have a problem with that, but man, to me, that's on the NBA. They have to take it. There shouldn't be that many back-to-back games. And also, I wish the Warriors would have rested them against Minnesota and then played them against the Spurs, and it would have turned out well for them, because the Spurs were without Kawhi Leonard, who's going through concussion protocol, and also LaMarcus Aldridge, who's suffering from a heart arrhythmia, which is real serious. So prayers to LaMarcus Aldridge. But that being said, that game was ugly. I know a lot of people who paid tickets to watch it. I was excited to watch the game. Obviously, I only watched a very little of the Spurs and Warriors. I mean, that was ugly. That was some ugly basketball that was played on Saturday night. So I know ABC was not happy. They hyped up the game a lot, and it definitely did not live up to the hype. So we can talk about that. Also, the Thunder, they've won 2 games in a row. They've been really better defensively. They've been active and engaged defensively, and that's made a big difference. And also, Victor Oladipo, he's made a big difference as well. His ability to get into the basket, his ability defensively, he's made a big difference. His ability to knock down the wide open shot. Now, you beat the Spurs. Kawhi Leonard, he got knocked out in that game. So, and also the Utah Jazz are dealing with a bunch of injuries, but that's not on Oklahoma City. That's not Oklahoma City's fault. So, a nice win for Oklahoma City. We'll see if they can get. They need to get some wins on the road. Right now, they're 6 in the West. That's where I had them at the beginning of the season. So they're right where I thought they would be. We'll see if they can make a push to get to that 5th seed. But the key for Oklahoma City is at the defensive end, and offensively, getting the ball to their bigs, and Cantor and Adams being balanced offensively, that is a key for the Thunder going forward. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. Get your brackets out. We're going to break down the East and the West right after we listen to some music from Ariana Grande, and then we're going to talk NCAA tournament. Also, we're going to have a special guest coming on after we break down the East bracket. We'll have Dick Vitale stopping by. He's going to give us his thoughts on the NCAA tournament. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk.
Put your hands up. If you wanna party, if you wanna party, put your hands up. Put your hands up. got the top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo. On the moon, Mooney's genies in a bottle. Girl, if they already got you,
boy, you made me feel so lucky. Finally the stars are.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Hopefully you have your brackets out. We're going to be breaking down the East region right now. We'll do it quickly. Hopefully we'll have Greg from our favorite state, and we'll be chatting with Greg. Hopefully we'll have his final four predictions on in his national champion on tomorrow's show. So looking forward to that. But let's look at the East region, and let's look at the 1-16 matchup. Villanova got the one seed. They're the one overall seed in the tournament. The defending champions, they'll be taking on either Mount St. Mary's or New Orleans, the Privateers. Now, before we break down, which is just not going to take very long to break down, but what is a privateer? I want to know. If you know what a privateer is, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429 because it's exciting for New Orleans to be in the first time ever to be in the tournament, but what in the world is a privateer? I don't know. But they're not going to be in the tournament long. Let's say maybe they beat Mount St. Mary's. That's nice, but Villanova, way too much. Veterans, the backcourt is loaded, so we'll move Villanova over there. Then we have an interesting 8-9 matchup in the East between Wisconsin and Virginia Tech on Thursday. I was shocked that Wisconsin was an 8 seed. I thought they would be I was a little surprised. I thought they would be a 7 seed, maybe a 6. So they're definitely an 8 seed. It was a little surprising. Virginia Tech, they have good guard play. They can shoot the three. There's no doubt about that, but they're a little undersized. I think that could be an issue against Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin can control tempo. Wisconsin played better in the Big Ten tournament. I think they'll get the ball on the inside to Nigel Hayes and also Ethan Happ. I think he'll dominate in the post, and I think that'll be – Zach Ledé is a nice player, and Virginia Tech has had a nice season, but I think Wisconsin moves on in that one. So let's move Wisconsin on in the East. We have a 5-12 matchup that is going to be very intriguing between Virginia and North Carolina Wilmington on Thursday. When we look at Virginia, they were 11th in field goal defense, very efficient defensively, one of the better defensive teams in college basketball, but they only averaged 67 points per game. They struggle to score. It's like watching them play offensive basketball, like pulling teeth. I mean, they really, really struggle to score. They're going to need Ty Jerome and also Cal Guy to step up and knock down some shots. You won't see Wilmington. They struggle defensively, but they can really score. They're led by Chris Flemings. They have a really good guard play. You know, I hardly ever pick a 12 or 5 upset, and every year a 12 beats a 5. I'm picking UNC Wilmington to beat Virginia. I might regret that. We'll see. But I'm going to move UNC Wilmington on in that one. The Seahawks, they pulled the 12-5 upset. I just think Virginia, they struggle to score. Then we have Florida taking on East Tennessee State. We'll look at Florida. They lost their big man, so that hurts their size, but they still have really good guard play, led a guy, Kevon Allen. I also like Devin Robinson, that power forward. He can step out and knock down threes. We'll look at East Tennessee State. They're a solid basketball team led by T.J. Cromer, but they were 109th in offensive efficiency, whereas Florida is 31 in offensive efficiency. And also, East Tennessee State was 94th in defensive efficiency. Florida is 9th in defensive efficiency. A lot of people are picking East Tennessee State. I can't go there, not in Orlando. I'm going to move Florida on in that one. So let's move Florida on in that one. Then we have a 6-11 matchup in the East between SMU and the winner of the Providence USC playing game. I kind of lean towards USC in that one. They have a lot of athletes. I was a little surprised they got into the tournament, but they do have a lot of athletes. There's no doubt about that. Providence is playing some good basketball right now, but SMU is really good offensively, they're 11th in offensive efficiency, and defensively, they are really good. I know they're undersized, and they're not very deep, but Semenje Ojale, he was a former Duke player. He transferred into SMU. He's been great for them. Sterling Brown is a really good player, and also Oklahoma's own Shake Milton at that guard position. Whoever wins between USC and Providence, I'm going to take SMU to advance to the round of 32. And then we have Baylor taking on New Mexico State. Baylor just has way too much size for New Mexico State. I know Baylor has had some issues moving through the tournament. I think they're going to have issues again. They're not playing good basketball right now, but I think they have a little. I think Jonathan Motley will be a little too much for New Mexico State, so let's move Baylor there. And then we have South Carolina taking on Marquette. I was a little surprised that the committee put South Carolina in South Carolina. That really surprised me. I'm not saying that just because I'm a Duke fan. I'm just saying, what in the world is that? Duke is supposed to have the kind of home court advantage, right? And I know that's still close to North Carolina. It was supposed to be in Greensboro, but still, Duke potentially has to play South Carolina in South Carolina. What kind of stuff is that? But anyway, when we look at South Carolina, they struggle to shoot the basketball. They're really good defensively. They're third in defensive efficiency. Sedarius Thornrail is a really good player, but they only shoot 42% from the field. Marquette, they're really bad defensively. They were 154th in defensive efficiency, but they can score the basketball. They have a balanced attack. I like Marquette to upset South Carolina in that one. So we'll go with Marquette. Now I think it'll be close, but we'll go with Marquette. Then we have Duke versus Troy. Duke is hot right now after winning the ACC tournament title, winning four games in four nights, playing some great basketball. Jason Tatum's really stepping up. Troy, they should be happy to be in the tournament. It'll end quickly for them. Duke will move on to the round of 32. Then we have Villanova versus Wisconsin. You talk about a battle of styles. Villanova wants to get up and down the floor. Wisconsin, they want to control tempo. I think Wisconsin can cause Villanova some problems, but Wisconsin doesn't score enough. Villanova's guard play will be the difference. Josh Hart and also Jalen Brunson. I like Villanova in that one. Then we have Florida versus North Carolina and Wilmington. Again, Florida, they're without their big man. They haven't played as well, but they're playing in Orlando. I think that'll be they'll have support. And a lot of it, UNC and Wilmington can score if they get past Virginia, but I just think Florida, I think they can score, and they also play really good defense as well. I like Florida to move on in that one, so let's move Florida on in that one. And then we have SMU taking on Baylor. Again, like I told you, Baylor has been struggling. They're 11th in defensive efficiency. They do a great job defensively with their 2-3 zone. SMU is excellent defensively as well, and they're not that deep. But I think they'll score enough in Tulsa to get the job done. I like SMU to move on to the Sweet 16. And then we have Marquette taking on Duke. Steve Wojnarowski, who's coaching Marquette, a former Duke standout. I love how Wojo played when he played for Duke, but sorry. Marquette's defense, they might score on Duke, but Duke's going to score a lot on them. I like Duke to advance to the Sweet 16 in the East. Then we have Villanova taking on Florida potentially in one regional semifinal in the East in Madison Square Garden. Again, Florida, I think they'll have a hard time stopping Villanova's dribble drive penetration. Villanova's not that – they don't have a lot of size. They don't have a lot of interior depth, but I think they have enough talent in the backcourt to advance and beat Florida. So let's move them to the East Regional, to the Elite Eight. And then we have Duke taking on SMU. SMU will give Duke some trouble. Defensively, they're really good, but they're undersized. I just think Duke has too much talent. I think Jason Tatum, Kennard or Emil Jefferson will have a big game in that one. He'll have a double-double. I like Duke to move on to that one. So we have a East Regional final of Duke taking on Villanova, the defending champions. And it's crazy. This matchup should take place in the Final Four, not in the Elite Eight, but it is what it is. It'll be a lot of Villanova fans. There'll be a lot of Duke fans there. It'll be great, a great atmosphere. But I'm going to go – I don't want to be a homer here because Villanova's playing some great basketball, but I think Duke has a little too much – I think a little too much size – with Giles is starting to play better, with Jefferson. Jason Tatum is just playing amazing basketball right now. I like Duke to advance to the Final Four. So Duke's starting to play like who we thought they would play like, and they're playing some good basketball right now after winning the ACC tournament. So those are my picks in the East. Right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Jackson 5. When we come back, we'll hear from former coach Dick Vitale, ESPN personality Dick Vitale, give us his thoughts on the tournament, and then we'll break down the West. We'll do all that next on Moles Sports Talk. Stopping by, giving us his Final Four prediction, also his national champion. Hopefully we'll have some more predictions for you tomorrow. Coach Mac Brown might stop by, former coach of the Texas Longhorns, and also my grandma Trice might stop by as well tomorrow. So looking forward to that. But let's break down the West real quick. We have Gonzaga taking on South Dakota State. Gonzaga did get the one seed in the West, and that didn't shock me at all. They've had a great year. They're 32-1. They lost that one game to BYU, which I'm still surprised they lost, but that was their only blemish. They beat a lot of good teams, so I'm not surprised at all they got the one seed. And I'm going to move Gonzaga over South Dakota State. They have some talent, but not enough to beat Gonzaga. Then we have Northwestern taking on Vanderbilt, a really interesting 8-9 matchup. When we look at Northwestern, the first time ever in the tournament, they're going to be really excited to play on Thursday in Salt Lake City. Brian McIntosh is playing some really good basketball. Also, Scotty Lindsey has been playing well at that guard position. They do a good job defensively. They're 35th in defensive efficiency. They're not a great offensive team. And when we look at Vanderbilt, they can really shoot lights out. Luke Cornett, they can Riley LeChance, they can really knock down a three-point shot, but they were 41st in defensive efficiency. And also, I think Northwestern can do some work on the glass against Vanderbilt. I'm going to go with Northwestern to beat Vanderbilt and advance there. So let's advance Northwestern. Not that I'm a big fan of the Big Ten, but there you go on that. Then we have a 5-12 matchup between Notre Dame and Princeton. A lot of people are picking Princeton, but Notre Dame is just really efficient. They don't beat themselves. You have to beat Notre Dame. Princeton, all five starters average double figures, but they were 101st in points allowed. I think that could be an issue against Notre Dame, who can really score the basketball. I like Notre Dame to avoid that 5-12 upset. Then we have West Virginia taking on Bucknell. West Virginia has really underperformed in the tournament. You know what they do. They're going to force turnovers. They're going to be aggressive defensively. Javon Carter, Nathan Adrian, they're going to get after you defensively. They're not a great offensive team, but their strength would – to beat West Virginia, you have to keep them off the offensive glass, and you cannot turn the ball over. That's how you beat West Virginia. Bucknell's a nice story. They've had a nice season, but the story ends there. West Virginia moves on in that one. Then we have Maryland taking on Xavier. But I went back and forward in this game. Xavier, obviously, they're not the same team without Edmund Sumner. They still have Trayvon Blue, who's been playing really well. And also J.B. Mascara, I think I pronounced his name right. But anyway, he's a really good player for Xavier. And I know Maryland, they rely a lot on Melo Trimble. Watch out for Josh Jackson. I think he's going to be the X factor in this game. But I'm going to take the better defensive team. I'm going to go with Maryland to beat Xavier in this one. I could see Xavier winning. There's no doubt about that, but I'll go with Maryland. Then we have Florida State taking on Florida Gulf Coast. Dunk City in Orlando, that'll be that's going to be a great atmosphere on Thursday night between Florida State and Florida Gulf Coast on Thursday night. When we look at Florida State, they have great athletes. You talk about Jonathan Isaac, also Dwayne Bacon, Xavier Rathen Mays. They do a great job on the glass. They were 25th in offensive efficiency, 24th in defensive efficiency as well. Florida Gulf Coast, they shoot 50% from the field, led by Brandon Graham, but they were 172nd in defensive efficiency. I think that'll be an issue against all the athletes for Florida State. I like Florida State to advance in that one. Then we have a really interesting 7-10 matchup in the West. Hopefully you got your brackets out and following along. St. Mary's taking on VCU. St. Mary's, really efficient basketball team, really good guard play. But to me, they don't have enough athletes. And I think VCU is going to out-athlete St. Mary's. Mo Alley Cox on the inside. They get after you defensively. I like VCU in the upset. And also, I love the VCU band, by the way. That's a little plug for them. I saw them last year in Oklahoma City. They get it. Oh, my goodness, they get it. So I like them there. And then we have Arizona versus North Dakota. North Dakota's first trip to the NCAA tournament is going to be a very short trip. Arizona's just playing really well right now. I like Arizona in that one. So we have a round of 32 between Gonzaga and Northwestern. Again, Northwestern, if they win a game in the tournament, they're going to be very excited. Gonzaga just has too much size, too much talent on the perimeter for them. I like Gonzaga to move on in that one. Then we have Notre Dame taking on West Virginia. Again, a contrast in style. Can West Virginia turn Notre Dame over? That's going to be a key. I don't see them turning Notre Dame over enough to win that game. I like Notre Dame to move on to take on Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Then we have Maryland taking on Florida State. Again, Florida State at times, they really struggle offensively, but I just think they have too much size and too much talent for Maryland. I'm going to move Florida State on in that one. And then we have Arizona taking on VCU. They're going to come in with an attitude. They're going to try to turn you over. They got a lot of athletes, but not enough to beat Arizona. I like Arizona to move on to the Sweet 16. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything World of Sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. It's not too late. We'd love to hear from you. But let's get back to looking at the West region, which will be played West Regional. Semifinals, which we played in San Jose. We have Gonzaga taking on Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is going to give Gonzaga fits. There's no doubt about that. I was really tempted to pick Notre Dame, really tempted, but I think the difference is going to be Kornowski. I think that size that Gonzaga has with Kornowski and also Zach Collins, I think will be a little too much. I think Nigel Williams-Gause, he'll have a good game. Now, Bonzi Colson, he's an issue. He's a problem, but I like Gonzaga to move on to the West. The West final. And then we have Florida State taking on Arizona. Arizona has just been playing some great basketball as of late. They're really good defensively. They were 28th in defensive efficiency. Alonzo Trier, he's been a real big difference maker for Arizona. I think he'll be a problem. And also, it'll be interesting to see how Markkanen will do against those bigs of Florida State, because Florida State is really talented. But I think Arizona there will win that one. I think it is setting up for an Arizona Gonzaga West Regional Final. And everyone's, I know Gonzaga beat Arizona earlier in the season, but that's when Trier was not playing for Arizona. There wasn't defined roles for Arizona. Their young guys have really stepped up, like Kobe Simmons, and also Kadeem Allen's playing really well. Alkins, I think Arizona has a little too much for Gonzaga, and they advance to play Duke and Phoenix. So let's move Arizona to Final Four. So that's my look at the East and the West region. Don't forget, guys, tomorrow we'll be breaking down the Midwest and the South. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. So thank you for listening to my show. Again, my next show will be tomorrow at 5:30 Central Time. We'll also talk anything going on in the NBA. We'll talk any NFL free agency moves that have been made. We'll do all that. But the main thing we'll be discussing on tomorrow's show will be the NCAA tournament. So looking forward to the tournament. So we'll be doing that tomorrow. So thank you for listening to my show. Have a blessed rest of your night. Trust in God. God is good. And we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.